If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
Like many people, Zelia Leslie's experience during the COVID era was a challenging one of navigating lockdowns as a solo parent of four children and trying to keep her business, a health food shop, afloat. Zelia was previously a practicing nurse. She's coming on RCR now to share the experience of being censured for Facebook posts about the COVID jab and her $16,000 fine after losing a legal challenge to defend herself. She says it was more or less a mockery of due process with a predetermined outcome, and she kind of wants to speak out. She faced a hearing before the Professional Conduct Committee appointed by the Nursing Council of New Zealand in Palmerston North, 31st of October, 1st of November last year. Zelia joins us now. Zelia Leslie. You were Zelia Smart then, right?
I was. So that's my maiden name, but I'm recently got married last year in November, so I'm officially Zelia Leslie now.
Okay. Well, I hope that's surviving the strain.
It is. Amongst all, you know, everything else going on.
It seems that you've, you know, had a heavy time of it. Where do you want to start? Do we start with the Facebook posts? Do we go back a bit before that?
Maybe back a bit before that. A bit of a background. So I actually left nursing in 2018. I'm still a registered nurse, but I didn't have a practicing certificate from 2019. I went on maternity leave with my daughter in December 2018. And throughout the previous years prior to that, I'd been doing some extra study in regards to nutrition and gut health. So I was quite passionate about, you know, you are what you eat and fueling your body is the right way for health. And I found it was a bit of a crossroads in the healthcare sector with the sort of dietary options or things that were recommended.
At this very early stage, already you're offside.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I absolutely love being a nurse. I love being an advocate for patients. I put my patients first. I you know, work by the book. I used to write policies and procedures in my last role as a nurse. So, you know, I'm a very professional person. But I went on to maternity leave and I just didn't really have that passion anymore to go back into the health system as such. I wanted to focus on healing people naturally. So I ended up working towards opening up a health food shop, which I did in January 2020 it was. And this was obviously the start of the rumblings of the pandemic coming to New Zealand. So it was quite a difficult time. I had a lot of fear around what was going to happen to me and my children in regards to the pandemic and isolations. I had separated from my husband, my then husband, just weeks earlier before opening my shop, basically. So I was navigating solo mum life, four kids, opening a health food shop. Uh-oh, here comes a pandemic and what, you know, implications were going to come from that.
When you said you're kind of fearful, was that because you were worried about the pathogen, that this could be some new thing that could wipe us all out? Or were you worried about, you see through that and worried about, oh gosh, there are going to be some things that are going to happen as a result of this?
Yeah. So, well, initially it was like, what is this? Is this a new pathogen? Is this going to be something that is going to be harmful for us? Already, though, I had quite a lot of confidence in protecting our family. We used high-dose vitamin C, vitamin D, and amongst other supplements to keep well when we get any kind of cold or flu. So that was already in the back of my mind. We ate really well as a family. But it was more around, what does this mean? We had to start wearing masks quite early on in the piece, something I felt extremely uncomfortable about personally, but I did it in my shop to begin with.
Did you think it would offer protection? A lot of people assumed it did. I mean, you
no.
work in, so you knew already that this was like
personally, I
a
thought
display.
That the cloth masks or just the basic masks that people were wearing weren't really the best protection. At the very, very early stages, I thought it may offer some protection, but I thought there was probably more risk around people constantly touching their face masks, popping them in their pocket, putting them back on, hanging them in their car, putting them on the same one. In healthcare, we don't use those masks. We use the N95 masks for viruses. And we have strict protocol that once that mask is on, you do not touch that mask.
Right.
So it didn't go well with me. It was against what I knew for infection control.
Yeah, so it just wasn't true.
Yeah, basically in a nutshell.
But we were led to think that it was. Okay, so all that was starting to come down. When all these things were happening, opening a shop, marriage, etc. So what happens then? How was business?
So when I first opened, it was a bit of a hype. Everyone was quite excited to come and check out this new health food shop. I opened up in a small rural town named Dannyburg.
Oh, Dannyburg, yep.
Yep, in the Manawatu. And we had quite a lot of tourists coming through, lots of Swiss people coming through, Germans. They were quite, you know, my main customers. They quite liked the health foods, you know, available to them in town. But very quickly, once those borders were closed, business began to flop quite fast.
Yeah. Okay, so that's another problem to deal with. When are we going to kick into what got you into trouble?
Yep. So during this time, obviously, I had separated from my husband. I was a solo mom. I had a lot of downtime in the evenings once I got home from work and those lonely, you know, nights when kids are in bed. And I would see, you know, articles on stuff about vaccinations and what's to come and basically just the whole health response and how this would affect businesses with, you know, only select businesses being able to be open. There was two health food shops in Dannyburg at the time, very small businesses, and one New World. And New World seemed to have the monopoly, and most people flocked there. If you're going to be, you know, lining up, queuing for ages, you'll do most of your shop at New World. So anyway, I didn't open my shop initially. I thought I would just play it safe and just kind of see how things go. Unfortunately, a lot of customers in Dannyburg were not able to access gluten-free products. My shop was 100% gluten-free.
Okay. Yep.
Because people were in the supermarkets, like, oh, we need flour. Oh, well, there's no flour left. I'll grab the gluten-free flour, or I'll grab the gluten-free breads available.
Supply was kind of wiped out.
Yeah, and when you've just got one supermarket in town, you're stuck, basically, especially when there's been a lockdown and getting 45 minutes to Palmerston North isn't really an option for some people. So I began opening my shop for a select few hours a week.
Which makes perfect sense, by the way. Perfect sense.
I operated a click and collect service where people could message me through their orders. I could box it up and they could just come and click and collect sort of thing. I did get a lot of backlash from some people in the community saying that you're not a supermarket, you shouldn't be open. And
Were these sort of like triggered responses?
Yeah, basically. And I tried to do things all the right way. I tried to follow what the government was saying. I rang up the helplines asking, you know, am I supposed to be open or closed? Like, where do I stand as a small business? I am providing an essential service. I'm getting backlash. They didn't have an answer. It was all no answer. It was like, oh, yeah, you can be open. It was like, I want to know legally. I'm getting a lot of backlash here. Like, where do I stand? I don't want to break any rules. Obviously, this is a very serious thing happening in our country at that time in the early stages of this pandemic. I was quite surprised to think, well, you've got this COVID response, you've got all these rules, but yet no one really knows what the rules are. You know, it's kind of this societal peer pressure that kind of kept people in line. But it was like, where's the legalities and where do I stand? So I got quite triggered myself and what was happening to me and my family and feeling like, how am I going to survive? I've got no husband here now. I've got these children on my own. I've got a huge amount of debts. I've got overheads that are still ticking along and I'm not making any sales. So that's when I started kind of posting on Facebook of like, what does this mean for us? Well, I can't open my business and I don't vaccinate my children. My oldest three children are triplets and they were all diagnosed with an autoimmune cancer. Yes, triplets on top of everything
else. That's wonderful, but you don't hear that every day, you know.
Yeah, so they actually had cancer in their first couple of years of life, an autoimmune cancer. Yeah, so for me, I was hearing, you know, whispers of...
Yeah, so you are hyper-vigilant.
Yeah, I've heard whispers of vaccinations coming and it should be mandatory and if you don't vaccinate, then you should be penalised through the government. And I'm like, I'm relying on government funding at the moment. I'm actually on a benefit and I'm getting Working for Families and I'm struggling. I'm getting into a huge amount of debt and I can't vaccinate my children. I fear for their lives. If they are to be pushed to be vaccinated, they have an autoimmune condition that could be, you know, reactivated. So for me, yeah. I became quite cornered. I felt quite cornered. And that's when I started kind of posting to family and friends about how I felt and how I didn't agree with some of the COVID response.
How were they sort of framed? Were they matter of fact or slightly grumpy or?
They were grumpy. The nursing council, I think, were more offended that I had used swear words in my posts. That's, you know, obscenities were some of the things mentioned numerous times when they were, you know, coming at me.
Why do you think they latched on to swear words?
I don't know. They actually latched on to emojis too. They were quite offended by emojis that I had used, as if that was some sort of, I don't know, language to them.
They're not concerned about the facts that you're into.
No.
It's sort of like the window dressing, the eye candy that they've got a problem with.
Yeah.
Like the small stuff, the sweating.
Yeah, the small stuff.
But that's all they had really anyway, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was unprofessional in the way that I
so that's how
spoke with the emojis.
Yeah.
That was a lot of our discussion.
Because you can look offended by taking that line. You can look all offended then, you see.
Yeah, yeah.
Then that's a line to disrepute then, isn't it? I mean, so obvious.
Yeah, basically, let's just pick on this little part here and kind of shame you for language that you've used. Yeah. I mean, anyone that knows me, I do swear. That's my freedom of speech.
Yeah, emojis as well, though. Yeah.
And emojis, yeah, it was silly. They kind of, they'd pick an emoji and they would kind of blow it up as in like, well, what does this mean? You know, and it's like, that's not the point. The point is the fact that Dr. O'Sullivan was saying that if you don't get the vaccinations, you should be penalised.
Yes, he was.
And I basically.
Is he the Northland doctor?
Yourself. Yes, yeah.
The rock star doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
Not so much a rock star these days.
Yeah.
Okay, so who was looking at this stuff?
So it was actually ex-colleagues that I believed were friends.
Yeah.
They began screenshotting my posts. I don't actually know when. They screenshotted my posts. They were talking amongst themselves at my old job and all very up in arms and upset about what I had been sharing and saying or the way I had been saying it. This is the part that gets me a bit riled up and upset because I feel like as a professional colleague and a bunch of professional colleagues, if you're seeing a colleague who's run down and having a difficult time, they're clearly not doing great. They're posting these heightened emotional posts. Not one staff member came to me and said, are you okay? What's going on? Did you know that the nursing council, if they were to see your post, could potentially reprimand you for your social media? I would have thought twice about what I was saying, but there was no one giving me a heads up. It just felt like a complete attack on me. A band of people coming together and secretly reporting me to the nursing council. The nursing council, part of the argument was there's a social media policy. I was not aware of a social media policy. I hadn't actually worked since 2018. A lot of the argument was there were basically information given out to health professionals on how to act throughout the pandemic about professional behavior and things like that. Again, I wasn't working. I wasn't privy to any of this information. I was a mum trying to survive through a pandemic with her four children solo running a business. This was nothing to do with me being a nurse and my attitudes towards my patients or anything like that. It was a mum in survival mode and looking out for her children. And they came at me.
How do you explain everyone sort of kind of walking away, like you just described? No one saying, hey, Zelia, are you all right? Is everything okay? Is there anything we can, what's going on? You know?
Yeah.
How do you explain that that disconnect?
I don't know. I mean, it's gutting, really. I think I started to kind of notice, like, I haven't seen anyone from, like, work or, you know, come into my shop. Like, it was a couple of people who came in from the place I worked. I don't want to name names. but it wasn't many, like, colleagues who I thought would have, like, oh, so good to see you here thriving or anything like that. And I thought, oh, okay, there's something a bit off here. And then I knew that perhaps some of my posts wouldn't sit right with how they felt, but I thought that they would still have the courage to come to me. I'm a harmless person. I'm very friendly. I would have thought they would have come and said, hey, what's up? But you're nothing. I don't really understand it. Why me? Why come after me on my Facebook post, my personal Facebook page?
We did see a sort of like this really low resolution, basic tribalism come into it, didn't we? Where, you know, there was one side or the other. It seemed to break down that way. And I guess,
yeah.
And it seemed that the people in the medical community, particularly, or the health community, yeah, they went the way we know they went. It wasn't your way.
Yeah.
So, okay. So when did you first realize that, you know, they had a problem?
So it wasn't actually until September 2021. So I had met a new partner by then. I had just found out that I was pregnant with baby number 5. And I get a email from the nursing council and basically saying that they have seen screenshots and they're going to do an investigation on professional conduct and whether it's been misconduct. That was the first, yeah, that was kind of the first step that happened. And I just immediately panicked and was like, oh my goodness, what's going on? I became really unwell in that pregnancy. I had hyperemesis, so I was vomiting from 3 a.m. up until I went to sleep the next night. So I was very unwell. So I'm trying to navigate like these things happening with the nursing council whilst being bed bound and in and out of hospital and things. And I didn't really think it was going to be a huge thing because I thought, well, it's my personal Facebook page and I don't see what I've really done wrong.
Oh, wait, was it like a public page?
No, my personal
So Facebook only page. Friends could have access?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That's this is why I'm like, what?
That's what a whole happened? Degree of next level.
I can understand if I was posting on like community pages left, right and center and like, you know, saying don't get the vaccine and things like that. But I wasn't even saying don't get the vaccine.
This is George Orwell.
So I'm actually currently reading that book and it's...
Yeah.
Oh
yeah,
goodness.
I reread it.
Yeah.
Just to stay current.
Yeah.
So this is thought crime.
Basically. So I didn't take it too seriously initially because I thought, well, I can just say I'm sorry. And I as soon as I got the email in September, I deleted my Facebook page. I deleted my Instagram page. I removed myself from social media because I thought, well, hang on a minute. I need to jump off, step back, figure out where I stand. Because I had no idea that I would be able to be reprimanded by the nursing council for my personal Facebook page and my personal beliefs and political beliefs. Because if anything, it was more political beliefs than anything against the health system that I was posting. I didn't agree with what the government was doing. I didn't say don't get the vaccine. It was like, I just don't agree with what the government is doing.
Yeah, well, that's aged well. That's aged very well.
Yeah.
That view of things. Okay, so who was the main witness against you?
So the main witness against me, from my understanding, I don't know her personally. She was a nurse from somewhere in like the Hawke's Bay region. From my understanding, she hadn't been in her role for that long, but she was working in a role around immunizations.
Oh, right.
So she came at me with basically this expert opinion in vaccinations and saying that, you know, basically I was a threat to people and like turning them against vaccinations.
Okay, so this is this big vaccine hesitancy.
Yeah.
A thing that we never heard the end of for quite a while.
Yeah. Basically, they used her to kind of reiterate how amazing vaccination is and how rural communities are more at risk of vaccine hesitancy. And because I initially lived
in... Why is that? Because they don't trust the government, right?
Maybe. Maybe they're perfectly healthy living on farms, growing their own food and eating wonderful diets and not needing to access healthcare.
Yeah, we can't have that getting out. So before you get to this hearing that I mentioned at the start, what happened next? Because you're on the way to that.
Yeah, so I sat before them and I was unrepresented. I didn't get a lawyer. I thought, well, I don't want to. We hardly have any money anyway, but I don't want to be wasting our family's funds on a lawyer for something like this. I didn't think it was that serious. So I just sat before them by myself, unrepresented, and that was when I realised I'd made a mistake.
Tell us about that, if you can.
So basically, I apologised, I explained that I'd removed myself from social media, that I had then since read the social media policy and realised that, oh, I could get in trouble. So I was then aware, made the practical steps to right my wrongs in their eyes.
Yep.
I apologised, I explained, you know, where I was at from a mental health point of view during that time. Things were
very stressful. Aware, sorry to jump in, but were they aware of what you were dealing with pregnancies? With businesses and all these things, because it sounds like there's no consideration there if they had any idea.
No, so they weren't aware at the time, but during that panel, I was able to explain kind of the rationale. Where was I at? Where was my head at? And there's a lot of details that I can't really go into, but it was an extremely heavy time for me.
Yeah.
Well, my mental health was very low. I was struggling. I did have other agencies, you know, trying to support me through that. And I basically broke down and said, I'm sorry. Like, what else can I do? I realize now. And I've read the policy. Sorry. And that wasn't good enough.
Really?
It was like, that's not good enough for us. You're a threat to public health. We're taking you further. So that was the minute that I realized I'd made a mistake.
Yep.
They were coming at me. This isn't just your typical, a nurse has slipped up and harmed a patient or anything like that. This is like, we're coming after you to prove a point.
Wow.
You can't talk on social media.
When you were representing yourself like that in front of them, right? You're physically in front of them.
Yeah.
What was their demeanor like? What was their kind of body language like?
Extremely serious. It was actually quite intimidating. Like, uh-oh, what have I done? I was literally like a week off giving birth to my baby. So I was already like, I had a cold at the time and I was emotional and like, oh, goodness, like I've mucked up. These people are here with an agenda. That's how it felt. And they didn't want to hear about how the mandates had affected me. They didn't care that I'd lost my midwife to the mandates or anything like that, that I'd been going through a heck of a time. They wanted, in my opinion, to set an example.
What was the mix of male, female of these people, this group? Just curious.
I think it was about 50-50.
Okay.
And they were from all around the country.
Right.
As well. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So that was that. Then it was the tribunal. And I tried to push it out as long as I could because I had a lot going on with having a newborn baby and then trying to find a lawyer. And I didn't want to use any funds. We had no funds. I had to go for legal aid, you know, and it was a difficult time. I eventually found a lawyer through legal aid, but he wasn't one of us. So he wasn't on my side. He couldn't understand why I did all of this.
It's just so weird. People not getting it. Yeah. Okay. So that's what you, you really had no choice but to go with what you could get.
Yeah. But actually even before I went to before the tribunal in about February of last year, he just dropped off the face of the earth. So I stopped getting any correspondence from my lawyer. And it wasn't until about June, I thought, there must be things happening in the works here. I'm going to go and find a lawyer myself. So I contacted, I think it was Voices for Freedom, and they linked me up with a lady, a lovely, lovely lady, who volunteered her time and her services for me to try and represent me this time around. But by that stage, I had really peeved off the tribunal. They thought that I was the one mucking them around when it was actually my legal aid lawyer at the time.
Yeah.
Had just completely dropped off the face of the earth. So I think part of my penalty considered like the muck around, even though it was no fault of my own.
Yeah. So the hammering you at every opportunity is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
And what was the, okay, what was the hearing like? You were there for some of it, I think.
So, yeah, I wasn't sure whether I had to attend or not. I ended up attending one day. I couldn't attend the second day, but I basically got there and was able to speak before them. I had the option whether I wanted to speak or not, but I thought, no, I will share my story because I feel like, you know, the background information is very important. The context of this isn't just that I'm a rogue nurse wanting to just destroy a system. I do have rationale for my thoughts and feelings. I have had trauma, you know, traumatic experiences with my children's cancer and what that means for them around medications and things like that. So I wanted them to hear my story. They just seemed disinterested. They
really?
They didn't care. That, yeah. It, I just felt like they've made their choice.
Yeah.
It was devastating once I realized, like, you're not going to win this one.
It sort of sounds heartless, you know, no heart, heartless.
It was.
Hardened hearts.
It was like the empathy's gone. I know of a nurse who years ago was actually taking medications and using them herself, controlled drugs, and she had to go through this process and she got a lot of support. She's still working as a nurse today because they said, well, your mental health was low and there was reasons behind it. My mental health was extremely low. I had never navigated a pandemic, you know, response in a country with lockdowns and having to be a solo mum of four kids on my own. Like,
But hang on, that's irrelevant. You're in a free country.
Exactly. And there is that point, exactly, yes.
Obviously, no concept of freedom.
Yeah, and that's something that even, like, has stuck with me today. Like, I'm sitting here talking to you, Paul, but it's been really nerve-wracking coming on and actually just sharing my experience. And, like, even now I wonder, like, is there going to be a rebuttal from this? Are they going to come after me? The nursing council or the tribunal said to me when I was there, I said, I wasn't even practicing as a nurse. I was just a mum. Like, when do I get to be a mum? When am I just mum standing up for her children? Why has this had to come into the nursing council realm? I wasn't practicing. And they told me once a nurse, always a nurse. So what does that mean for me? So my lawyer at the time, she
I used to deliver parcels for the post office. Am I still a parcel deliverer?
Exactly. It just sounds outrageous. So my lawyer, she was an ex-registered nurse. She put her badge on the table and said, well, I'm a nurse, technically. Am I going to be reprimanded for my, you know, personal beliefs and what I say? And they didn't have an answer, but it kind of left an uncomfortable feeling in the room of, like, what are these people actually capable of? What is their agenda here?
What do you think the agenda is?
I just think they're so protective of this narrative that's been sold over the last
few years. How do you get so attached to something where you suspend your normal humanity? I'm just curious. I haven't been in the situation you have, you know.
Yeah, I honestly, I don't know. I really don't know what goes through these people's minds. I just can't fathom it. And, like, I've spoken to other nurses, and some of them agree and some of them don't agree. I'm like, the infection control, for one, like, doesn't make sense. Like, this is what I was saying. Make it make sense. And I would fully agree with it all. But, like, you think about going to the supermarket. You're touching all the items. You're putting some bag. You're picking another item. You're putting on the conveyor belt. They scan the items, and then they can't put it in a bag for you because it's infection control. This is some of the things we dealt with over the pandemic. My husband just couldn't believe it. Like, he would have arguments like, just put it in the bag.
Yeah.
And they're saying, oh, it's infection control. They're just looking out for their families. You've just touched everything. Like, this is not infection control. I'm sorry. I wrote infection control policies. I know this is not infection control, but the thing is, it really has, this gaslighting really has, like, mucked me up. I do doubt myself. I do have to go and double check things. I'm like, these are just basic nursing knowledge or skills, but I've learned now I'm second, you know, guessing myself from the way that I've been treated. I know that I wasn't in the wrong, but I've been made to feel
even like being made to do that is an assault against your freedom, the way I see it anyway, you know, forcing you into that.
It's that thought crimes, you know?
Yeah, and kind of making you do some sort of forced confession, you know? I'm so sorry and I had all these problems, you know?
Yeah.
Even that doesn't sort of land anywhere. So okay, you lost it. It's going to cost you some money. You weren't surprised that you lost it.
I wasn't surprised that I lost it.
You had a feeling that it probably go that way. Right?
I felt like it was very biased already, predetermined to a degree. But I didn't think I'd be penalised a large amount because I was on legal aid. Unfortunately, my fantastic first legal aid lawyer apparently never informed the council I was on legal aid. So they think they've had the right.
You must have been trained by a New Zealand university.
Sounds like it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So okay. Despite I've put in complaints against him in the legal aid department, and they've come back and said, like, my complaint is upheld. Like, I am right. He did neglect me and didn't provide the service he was supposed to. But that now leaves me, well, I've got $16,000 that I now need to pay for his negligence. And out of the cruelty, I guess, of this tribunal who's just, like, wanting to slam me.
Is that the money that or the value they've burnt up in dealing with
your case? No, so I don't know whether nurses are going to want to hear this, but their registration fees are going towards, obviously, the pot that they use for these sort of cases. And it's probably cost them just under $100,000 to come attack me for my personal, you know, beliefs and emotions on my Facebook page.
Okay, so can you wiggle out of the 16 somehow?
So from what I understand, I can't. So when I first got the verdict, so I was pregnant last year throughout this hearing with baby number 6, last baby.
Wow, I only did 3.
And yeah, part of me wonders whether they purposely did this. It's hearsay. I don't know for sure. But yeah. I was due to have my baby at the end of January. I got my verdict in November. But I didn't receive the paperwork until the 2nd of February. So I had just had my wee baby and was just got out of hospital and navigating some post-birth stuff there and got this email come through. But at the time, I was so, like, just caught up in everything else going on, I didn't realise I only had 20 days to put an appeal in.
Oh, right, yeah, okay.
So I've missed the boat from what I understand. I mean, if anyone else listening to this, like any other, you know, legal people have an answer, maybe there's a way out of this, then I'd love for them to contact me somehow. But, yeah, as far as I'm aware, I'm not able to have an appeal.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
What an experience.
Yeah. And I mean, I could have just, you know, bowed down and said with the first, my first lawyer and said, fine, let them do whatever they want to me.
If you got on your knees at that first meeting with them and said, look, I'm so sorry, you didn't try and make a case for yourself, do you think it would have stopped there?
Possibly. So my lawyer, the first one, he just said, just do whatever they want you to do. Like, do it because you're not going to win and they can charge you $30,000. And I spoke with some other people and said, no, you've got a chance to stand up for other nurses. You know, we've got, shortage of healthcare. Mm. They've mandated nurses out and then they're getting people like you, you know, off the books sort of thing, like just fight. So I thought, I've got the backing. I'll take a leap of faith and try and fight them. Yeah. And unfortunately, yeah, I didn't win, but
maybe it's a bit too early to see it in the big picture, but yeah. It'll be interesting to see how you see it, you know, in time, years to come. So you need some help.
I do.
Okay. Tell us how it can happen.
Yeah. So I've spoke to some people and they all heard my story and thought, you know, I would love to help you out. So I've made a Give a Little page. You know, I just thought, even if, like, all us freedom fighters, you know, we just donated $1 each, I feel like we'd get that money pretty quick.
Yeah.
I understand there's a cost of living crisis, and we're all pretty stretched financially, but even if it was, like, $1 or $2, I feel like we could just band together and say, hey, you know what, like, we're not going to let this slide. Like, we don't agree with your verdict. Here's the money, but we're not, you know, stepping down from this. We're a community now. We're one big family. I would love the support.
The way that this pandemic has gone, so everything else eased off after it passed through, right? So restrictions eased off, businesses opened again, tourism happened again. You would think you could use the same rationale to explain why we were so, you know, crazy at the start because we didn't know what was coming, to explain also the way we recover from it. And that should include forgiveness, whatever you want to call it, yeah, of anyone who had a particular view.
Yeah.
This one carries on. Why? Yeah.
Well, as all of the healthcare, I think there's actually mandates in a lot of places in healthcare still. They're still kind of holding on to this.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
But grim, you know, by their plaque almost.
Yeah. And these are people who work in healthcare. And we work around, like when you're a health professional, COVID sometimes the least of your worries. You're dealing with, you know, toxic drugs. You've got, you know, people with MRSA or C. diff, which is like very contagious and really hard to get rid of, hard to treat. We've got some scary bugs out there in the medical community.
Yeah,
and
yeah, right, the medical community.
The fact that we're clawing on to this, you know, and it's like it's just another flu now.
Well, let's see what can happen, the 16K. Let's see what happens there. We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Really, really interesting to hear your story. Thank you for telling it.
Thank you for listening, Paul. And I hope other people maybe get a little bit of hope, you know, that you're not alone. If you are a nurse out there that has, you know, lost your job and are feeling pretty defeated, just hold on, because I think, you know, the tides will change in time. I was hoping that as soon as like the new government got in, things would just flip. But some people are a little bit, I guess, traumatized, holding on.
Well, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, and I think certain members of that government do know that.
Yeah.
But how are you feeling now? All those things. I mean, you sound, you know.
I'm a positive person.
You're sounding positive.
I've been through a lot throughout my life. This doesn't really scare me too much, but I mentioned at the start, it has really rattled me. And I do at times feel like I've got a sense of myself. I was always a really outgoing, strong advocate. Wasn't scared of no one. Mm-hmm. My parents taught me, you know, don't.
Oh, what do your parents say? Are they still around? What do they say about this?
They're really sad that this has happened. They just can't believe it. And like my dad's been in and out of the hospitals and things. He's got Crohn's disease. He didn't take the vaccination. I feel like if he did, it probably would have killed him. He's got a lot of issues with that at the moment. So I'm relieved that they didn't take it, but. Yeah, they just can't understand it. And, like, the healthcare system's so broken, broken.
That's what we hear.
Yeah.
We've even tried to imagine how a new one would be. That's how far ahead we are.
Yeah, yeah. One day, I feel like one day we'll get there. Maybe all us, you know, naughty nurses can band together and start one of our own. Who knows?
Yeah, like a rebel health system.
Yeah.
Like something out of a Monty Python movie.
Yeah.
Anything's
possible.
Hospitals fighting each other. Yeah.
We've got quite creative over these last few years, so anything's possible.
Zelia Leslie, thanks for coming on RCR and telling us about that. And when we put the replay up, we'll, I'm sure, find some way of putting a link direct into that page that you mentioned.
Wonderful.
If Reality Check Radio enriches your day in life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and the dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.